This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chimp, hit them with the ad.
So BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year, with up to the minute odds, stats, and trends you can follow for your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with anything you can need in that situation. But yes, this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and All-American cornerback from Ohio State, Chindi Chekwa. Man, we got a great show for you guys because we got football right around the corner. But we always like to start our show by saying feel free to subscribe to our page on YouTube. Leave us comments. Rate us. We like to talk to you guys. Also, check us out on all of the podcast platforms. But like I said, man, tomorrow, March 5th, spring ball starts. And it's starting to feel like really spring, even here in Ohio. Chim, how you doing over there, man?
Doing good, man. Weather's nice, right? Good football weather. Really good football weather. Unless it's 7-on-7 in your high school.
Yeah. Then you need to act like it's snow on the ground. Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, we'll talk about that later. But so spring ball kicks off tomorrow. Ohio State is scheduled to have two practices this week, and then they have actually school spring break. It's next week, and then they're off, and then they come back for spring break. From there, they kind of keep rolling, having practices leading up to that big spring game in April. But today we had a piece of the team, right? The media met with some guys, some of our returning offensive leaders that's on the roster, Devin Brown, Trevion Henderson, Emeka Abuka, and I'm missing somebody. Who else was there? Donovan Jackson also met with the media today. And Devin has been of late, got a little spicy on the mic, man. What did we catch from Devin Brown? Devin, how you say, Devin burn the boats Brown, man. What do you think of his comments and sharing with the people?
Yeah, I think he's getting tired of the questions about potentially transferring. I mean, fans are going to love it, right? They're going to love, his attitude, his approach, his willingness to compete. And that's what he's pretty much saying. Like, he's pretty much saying transferring isn't an option. I'm here to play. I'm here to compete, regardless of what the situation looks like. I think people are already writing him off with Will Howard coming in as a transfer portal player and likely potential starter. But Devin, he's saying he's here for the long haul, which is something that you like to see. I think even if you weren't to win out the position and be the starter, there is a benefit still to staying, developing, competing, potentially get an opportunity, even if you were to lose this year, next year, or also just continue to become a better quarterback. Look, at the end of the day, if you can't beat out guys, in college, it becomes even challenging as well to be able to emerge and, one, make it to the NFL, but also be able to emerge and play on the NFL level. So for Devin, I think the biggest thing for him is just improving his game. And I think he recognizes that as well. And, he's here to compete.
Yeah, and I think that's, like you said, it's very, you feel good about that. I mean, right, especially in these times, right? I mean, obviously, sometimes you don't get the full story, but it feels as if, someone, a big recruit coming to your position that's going to play, you're out the door. You're a freshman, you're in your second year of school, you haven't been seeing the time you think you deserve, let's be clear about that, guys are out the door. And then you see on the other end, guys play well, then they are out the door as well. So this is kind of here for someone that wants to be a part of the program, that wants to be, spend a little bit more time with the guys. It's good to see it make you feel good. And another thing about Devin Brown, it's like he's really emerging as being one of the leaders of this team, right? I mean, he's like kind of like the face of things, right? You kind of see him up front when you got clips of the guys working out. If it's a social event that you see, maybe the guys, the linemen are going out to eat, he's with them and hanging out with them as well. And, I mean, for a quarterback, that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy be a leader on and off the field. And right now he's kind of backing it up with the media saying, hey, you guys in the basement, stop Twitter fingering me, man. Like I'm here to compete. I'm here to improve and, you know, take it from there. And we know, I mean, it's college football. All you need is 1 year, right? You develop, you get better, and you have that one special year, whether it's here at Ohio State. We're going to leave it at that right now. Here at Ohio State, you have that one magical year. He can kind of catapult himself to being an NFL player. So, yeah.
And he, I mean, he's a guy that he obviously has to continue to develop and continue to improve. But the quarterback position is a little bit more unique if you compare it to other positions where there's multiple players at the same position on the field, right? It's not like if I play corner, I could be one of the two corners. I could be a nickelback. I can move to safety, right? So while we don't speak negative about a player who continues to look for opportunity and transfer after he's lost, you know, the competition, we should also celebrate the guys who stay and say, look, I want to compete. And at the quarterback position, to be honest, man, it's like you can go searching at other schools and maybe there is an opportunity for you to start. But there's going to only be one guy who plays at no matter what school you go to, right? So being a guy who's still relatively young, having the opportunity to continue to develop under some of the best staff and people in this type of play, if he can break through and hit the field, man, he would be one of the most loved players. He's already one of the most loved players on the you mentioned his leadership already. But if he can eventually break through and get on the field and be productive, it's just going to be so much more special for him, given his mindset and his approach to the game. So it's a guy. He's definitely a guy I root for, right? I've liked him since the beginning.
Yeah, you really liked him.
but I do, you know, I think he recognizes too that he has some ways to go in terms of being able to be a clear-cut starting quarterback at Ohio State to be able to win out at that position.
Yeah, and absolutely. During spring, we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but I feel, like I said, you can probably have a whole show on it, that Devin Brown still should have an opportunity to earn that starting job for this season. Not, you know, the future and, you know, after wedding year. But like I said, we'll get into it when we need to, like I say, in coming weeks here. But like I say, that competition should be on because it's not like we have, you know, I don't know, Michael Vick, you know, we didn't have Justin Fields transfer over in the transfer portal. No, we got Will Howard. So kind of keeping on to what we've been doing. Obviously, like I say, spring starts tomorrow and we've been kind of having a little series of just grading the positions, right? Just looking at position group, how they do last year, based on the people that returned, or based on the people we know that's in the room, what type of grade do we have for them going into the 24 year? So, like I said, we only got one more day, so we got to get through three position groups. We got the wide receiver group, running backs, and specialists. But first, we'll start with the wide receiver group. How did you see that bunch perform last year, and with the guys that's remaining, what do you have them at, Jim?
So the wide receiver group last year was a very, in my opinion, a very deep room.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like it that much when you when you look at the production, right? So I give the wide receiver group, I give them an A-, but it's one of those situations where you're in like a group project and you have maybe that one individual in that group project really carrying all of the load, and everybody else, they get the snacks and the drinks, right? They have the conversation. They're that one smart student who that was Marvin Harrison for the receiver group to me, who carried him to that A-. And it wasn't just because, I mean, obviously he was great, but I think there were some inconsistencies a little bit at the quarterback position and a little bit of an over-reliance, I think, on Marvin Harrison. Plus, Abuka had some injuries, so he was in and out. That hurt them. I thought the other guys played well, though. Some drops here and there, some inconsistent play. Carnell Tate didn't get a ton of opportunity. I think going into next year, he's going to get a lot more opportunity. And that's why going into next season, I think the group is right there around a B+, A-. You lose Marvin Harrison. You lose the all-world player, right? But you have a lot of talent at the position still, young talent. And I expect them to perform. I don't expect any drop-off. I expect Emeka Buka to walk right into those shoes of being the top receiver. I expect Carnell Tate to walk right into those shoes of being a top receiver. And then some of the other guys to fill in. Jeremiah Smith, Brandon Ennis. And, I mean, there's a host of guys who have the host talent.
Guys.
Right. So I'm expecting A minus. And I do expect Will Howard to be the quarterback going in. And I do expect that production at the quarterback position to be solid.
So. I would have to agree. I mean, I think I'll give my wide receivers an A. Like I said, I think for like last year, obviously we had Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, he did it all. He was the catalyst for our offense. Whenever we was down, wherever we needed to play, we went to him and he was able to make it. And then obviously Emeka had this injury, so he still made fantastic plays. Like, you know, the catch against Notre Dame, fantastic play. But then he had his injuries, but then you had other guys kind of filling that role with Carnell Tate, like you said. He's got a lot of talented guys. I mean, like, so next year I expect another A performance out of these guys. Just to keep calling off names, we have Jaden Ballard, who's been in the program for 40-plus years now. We got Mylon Graham, who's been in the program for a year now. We got Bryson Rogers, who tried to sneak out the door on us a little bit. But, you know, he's back as well. But, you know, he's a big recruit coming in, so – you know, yeah. We like to see him do some work as well. So, like I said, it's obviously a talented bunch. We all know the headlines that all our recruits get when they especially coming in at that wide receiver position. So, I expect, you know, nothing but great things for them as well. So, wide receivers is great, right? So, now let's go to the running backs, right? Let's talk about the running back room a little bit. Obviously, we got Trevion Henderson returning. We got the running back out of Ole Miss. I'm blanking on his name. Quishon Judkins. Yeah, Quishon Judkins. Daly Hayden is returning as well. We had a few freshmen step onto campus. James Peoples out of Texas. And also the local talent, Sam Williams-Dixon out of Pinkerton, Ohio. How do you see that bunch? How did they do last year? Obviously, different players last year, right? Trevion's the only one that really got to play all year. How do you see them last year going into this year, that running back position?
Yeah, it's hard to separate the running back from the offensive line and that run game, a shaky run game, I think, to start the year, which kind of drags the grade down a little bit. I don't know. I'm somewhere around a B-, C-plus because I like the running back production for the most part with Trevion Henderson and what he was able to do in terms of a ton of big runs. Especially towards the end of the season. So I'm going to be generous and say B minus. And then going into next year, I say A plus. I think now they got three guys who can get it done. They, obviously, two of the guys are probably two of the top backs in college football based on what they've already done. Right. And then Dallin Hayden is a guy who can be right there with them. So that two-headed monster is crazy. And then you add in the third guy, and you got the young guys coming in. I think they're A. And I think this offense really needs to lean on the run game, whether that's quarterback run, read option, whatever, to really get the offense going. And just going back to receivers for one quick second, I think, you know, a little bit more catch and run opportunities, you know, things across the middle, drag routes, et cetera. Guys like Emeka Buka who are really dangerous with the ball in their hands. The run game should be great. I think the receivers also can contribute with a little bit more opportunities to catch and run, not just the bubble screen, right? I mean, stuff where you got a guy going across the middle, cornerback having to chase, he can catch that ball and make some plays. So I think collectively we got a lot of talent, guys that can get the ball in their hands and make a lot of things happen. So I'm excited about that backfield for sure.
Yeah, and me as well. I just kind of, I guess, echo what you say, right? I think last year, like you said, it's kind of tough to say, you know, why, you know, the running game was okay, right? Trevion Henderson had a good year, and especially towards the end, right? Very special towards the end. But throughout the season, like, it was choppy, right? Things up front, guys running in the backfield, getting the hits on our guys. So it's tough to kind of blame it on them. Obviously, we had Chip playing in the running back position last year. Then we had Maya Williams there as well. He had a basically a nicked up year. We didn't get to see him much. And then also Trevion Henderson had an injury right there in the middle of the season as well. So, yeah, I think your grade is fair. B-minus situation next year. I expect things to be out the park. Obviously, I'm a little tougher on Chip Kelly, right, because I like to see a little bit more physical style when it comes to running the ball. But you can't deny the numbers, right? I mean, I think he was 191 rushing yards per game last season. The year before that, they're around 250 at UCLA. So you expect him to come in and be able to, with those running backs, really be able to kind of gas guys up, find some lanes, and then with their speed, to really be tremendous there. So I expect that running game to put up a lot of stats. Sometimes, like I say, we discuss it. You know, a lot of times I want to see some guys get moved on some of them short yardage situations when we kind of get in those bigger games. But we'll see what Chip Kelly could bring there. But last and not least, we want to discuss the special. Obviously, last year, you know, we're tough on our special teams, right? We got rid of a coach because of it, more or less. And now we're going into a new era where the head coach said he's going to be a little bit more over the special teams. And you imagine that means the same for our position coaches and them kind of breaking out who's in control of what. But I guess going over our specialists, I mean, let's talk about our kicker. We got Jaden Fielding returning for a year. And I believe our punter, this will be his first year right now on the depth chart. They have Joe McGuire leading the bunch there. Obviously, last year, the kickers, I mean, not too much to talk about. But, Chip, go ahead and get your perspective on the specialists and what you think there.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a D for last year. Special teams in general. I don't know if I put that all on the kickers, though.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, with the results, I give him a D. And I think a lot of that is coaching, right? And when you think about special teams, very limited plays with 20, maybe 20-some plays in the game, total across all special teams plays. And, you know, the players got to go in there and be locked in and really want to try to impact in that short period of time. So I think there's going to be some adjustments there just from the coaching part of it. So I expect improvement. I mean, if you start off with a D, I expect them to at least get up to average special teams, right? Yeah. So I'm going to give them a C going in just because of the reshuffle at the coaching staff. I think Ryan Day's increased involvement in special teams is going to impact. It's going to drive players to want to impress the head coach and be able to get on the field for their specific group. But the actual kicking game, I think it continues to improve. I mean, I don't think we can get worse than last year. So that's my hope. That's my belief. And it's Ohio State. We should be graded out at an A when it comes to special teams. Simply
yeah, we should have some guys. And Fielding last year is pretty consistent. I mean, I think he went about 80%. Doesn't have the longest of legs, but, you know, once you kind of get to that range, to the mid-40s on down, he's pretty accurate in his kicking. So, like I said, we expect the same there and kind of keep going from there. But, yeah, so our next topic, we want to discuss video games, man. I mean, we both got three kids, so we don't have a lot of time for video games. But when we were in college, you know, we kept a PlayStation, an active PlayStation in the apartment there, man. As we know, NCAA football is back. EA Sports is dropping the game, I believe, here in July. First time they had a game, I want to say in, I don't know, 10, 12 years or so of the nature. But it's a little controversy around it because as a player, if you want to get involved with the game, which is different from the past, you now – It's you know, it's an NIL deal for these guys, right? You now could opt in to be a part of the video game and receive some compensation. And it's not 100%. I think, we got a lot of guys. I think it's at 10,000, 80-some percent. But some guys are deciding to kind of hold off. We want to kind of discuss it because it's different. It's different. Before, you didn't have a say. Like, if you was in college, you were on the game, and that was all it was. But now, you know, the players got a little bit of power in that situation. We want to break down, I guess, what you're hearing in that space and, I guess, the alternative. Why would some guys not decide to opt in to be a part of this video game?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Everybody has their own individual thought process on making a decision. And the reality is, if you truly want to negotiate, like if you're trying to negotiate whether or not you get paid more than the $600 that's being allotted for every player who opts in, then you got to take a hard stance to say no. I'm not taking that money. I want more. Anybody knows in a negotiation, you start off you start off high, right? There's no possible way I'll take $600. Even if you take $800, I want, you know, $5,000 or something. And then you see, but in reality, there's no negotiation in this situation, right? So to negotiate in this case, you have to play the long game and just opt out and then see how many other guys opt out and see if you can move the needle. Only guys who can move the needle are the big time players.
Yeah.
Right. And then at the same time, a lot of those players don't really care as much, right? It's like, I'm getting money through NIL. The video game is a cool thing. It's a nice thing for my personal brand, potentially, right? To have, you know, young kids playing with my name on the jersey, et cetera, et cetera. So a guy like Travis Hunter who opted in, Quinn Ewers who opted in, those are the guys who could actually probably, if they collectively didn't opt in, could maybe change something, right? But they're probably like, I don't care. I'm going to play the game, right? So, I could see a world where some of those top players kind of have a long-term viewpoint and say, look, you know, if you're going to use my name, image, and likeness, I want to be able to maximize what I can make from it and not just be given whatever is there. Arch Manning did not opt in. His team probably decided that, you know, the best thing for him is to control his name, image, and likeness. So we'll continue to see who does and who doesn't. But it seems like this first year, most of the guys are shoot, let's go play the game.
Yeah, right. I mean, but you know, the thing that I guess that's kind of being missed in this, right, is that, and this is across college in general, there's really no collective, right? There's no union. There's no one body that kind of speaks for the player. Obviously, the difference in the NFL and in the NFLPA is that you have an org that say, like, look, yeah, this is on behalf of the players. We want to see this. We want to this, and kind of negotiate. And college is just like 10,000 individual deals that's taking place. So, I mean, obviously, this is something small. Most guys are opting in, but it'd be interesting how it goes in the future if, you know, more information is brought out so guys could maybe make a decision on maybe pushing on EA to kind of maybe tier it, you know, young guys get 600, but maybe us five guards that they're going to actually be playing with, you know, maybe we get a little bit something different there. But we'll have to see how it plays out. But another, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you see the old players, you know, like, I would have loved to get $600 on in my name in the video game. Like, I mean, great, but you didn't get offered $600. So this is not about you. So for those who don't opt in, I mean, it's up to their personal discretion to decide what approach they want to take. Yeah. And it's not about being greedy or whatever, because the video game is a business that's making money, mm-hmm, right? And if the player wants to exercise their opportunity to be a business and make money, they got to make decisions like this. Well, do I opt in and receive the benefits of all the things that I can receive from being in the game, or, you know, do I not and try to see if I can get more? So they got to weigh that, and yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about a guy like Madden, right, I mean, he's like top five NIL earners, right? I mean, like, we, you know, you see his numbers up there with him and Quinn Ewers as well. So, you know, if he makes a decision, like, you know, they made that decision. They thought about it, you know, wasn't just, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, forget it. Let's just see how, you know, how it goes. They thought about it. And that's the decision that they went with. So, like I say, it's early, like, you know, first year back. So it'll be interesting to see how that's kind of evolves over time. But a topic that we wanted to discuss here on this show regarding, really is regarding Ohio State recruits, right? I mean, we have a situation here in Ohio where a guy that's out of the Northeast Ohio, Shaker Heights High School, Trey McNutt, four-star safety that has an offer from Ohio State. He played 707. He played 707 down in Florida. He played with a team out of Houston just to kind of go out there and get some exposure for himself. But that's against OHSAA rules. He's not allowed to do that. And because of it, I believe he was receiving some type of suspension going to his senior year, maybe a couple games. But it's also still up in the air. I know he's upset about it. It's also some potential. He might compete in some other 707s across the country. But it's like, I believe Ohio is the only state that has this rule in place that the high school players in Ohio is not allowed to play in these 707 tournaments that's kind of going on across the nation. What's your thoughts on that, man? It's kind of kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, with all due respect, it's a garbage rule. It's a terrible rule. It doesn't make sense. So what the rule is pretty much saying is, okay, in the off season, between, I don't know, during the spring, essentially, you can't play football. You can't play touch football. You can't play flag football. They're policing your ability to play any non full contact football, which essentially what they're trying to do is eliminate 707, eliminate any type of competition outside of the school. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, you're talking about young players who are trying to improve in their primary sport, which to me actually benefits the school. If they were playing AAU basketball, they could play. If they were running AAU track, they were playing volleyball, all right? If they were out there playing soccer, tennis, golf, whatever, go ahead, do your thing. But if you're running around and catching a football, you can't do it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it really makes no sense. And I think it's a situation of people in control who are given titles to be able to make decisions just overreach of that power, right? Honestly, it's kudos to me. It's kudos to Trey McNutt, even though he's going to probably face some suspensions. I don't know how willing I would be to face suspensions for high school, but kudos to him for, you know, pushing it to the limit. Yeah. To try to get this rule changed, because it just makes no sense. And I think it hurts a state which I consider a football state, right? I consider it a football state when it comes to sports. I think it hurts the overall sport, the overall development of these players. And like I said, I think it's a garbage rule.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it as well. The football is changing, right? I mean, with social media and all these platforms and things of this nature in the NIL world, guys are doing what they can, first off, to compete, to get better. And then secondly, just kind of just better themselves overall, at, you know, with their name and who they are as a player. And then when you have little rules like this in play, like you're really just hindering the Ohio kid. Because, I mean, it's literally, you know, the rest of the nation are able to do this. So, you know, he goes to Florida and these guys have spring football in high school. So they, you know, they have a whole, essentially, I don't know how many practices, there's a whole couple more months to get it better at football. And we already don't have that in Ohio. And I could make an argument on why is that okay and why is that not okay, right? But when it starts a little, you know, due to protecting players and protecting heads and all that kind of stuff, okay. But when it's something 707, like, you know, these guys are just literally, you know, running around. There's no helmets. There shouldn't be any collisions to the head. You're just really working on your craft, working on your footwork, ball playing the ball and things of that nature. And then because of this, you could grow your exposure. You know, who you are as a player, you know, you make a play here and you grow your exposure as it shoots across, you know, the social media platforms, and it's hurting Ohio kid. We're already seeing one of our five stars leave the state, right? Just, I guess, recently, Chris Henry Jr., the five-star wide receiver of the 26th class, already committed to Ohio State, has left the state, moved to California to finish off his high school career, where he could play 707 and have an opportunity to kind of start making a name for himself and set himself up properly for NIL and things of that nature. And we don't want to keep – we don't want that to be the same, all right? We don't want to see our guys, you know, leaving, going to these prep schools, our Ohio guys, due to basically this really old historic rules that someone needs to take a look at, understand what we could do to improve, because, you know, it's the time is now. Time is now, more or less, yeah. And that kind of stuff. So before we got out of here, we just want to end the show with our Buckeyes that are at the Combine. Everyone that went out went to the Combine. It's kind of iffy on who's actually – competing at the Combine, right? Due to, you know, certain situations. Marvin Harrison's not doing much there, but we want to shout out the guys that are doing some competing. Kay Stover ran a 4.640, great 40 for a guy of his size. Josh Proctor ran a 4.5. Matt Jones, representing the O-line, he's out there as well, competing and running and jumping and things of that nature. So shout out to those guys that decided to kind of go out there and do things. Everybody got their own rhythm to it now, right? You do it there, you do it at pro day, you know, let it be to you, but some of our guys are out there, so I want to shout them out. And that's our show. Once again, follow us on the platforms, YouTube, all the other podcast platforms, and we like to end all our shows with an OH.
Ayo.
And a go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.